ESPN Daily is presented by Supercuts, the smarter, easier way to get a haircut. It's not just any haircut. It's Supercuts.
Yes. Fabulous.
He has done it. It might have taken a stroke or two extra, but the feeling is just as sweet. The 22 Masters champion, Scottie Scheffler.
Watching Tiger Woods often feels like binging a prestige cable television drama. So obviously, we saw the 2022 Masters as the return, the resurrection, really, of the best show in golf. But what you maybe didn't see coming was the proper debut of a totally new character, Scottie Scheffler, who announced at age 25 that he just happens to be the best golfer in the entire world. So today, we call up Michael Collins, ex-PGA Tour caddy and our resident golf expert, as he's driving home from Augusta National, where he spent the week among the azaleas and the insatiable Tiger obsessives. And he tells us everything we missed. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Monday, April 11th. This is ESPN Daily.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Yeah, I'm right here. Yo, what up?
Michael Collins, America's Caddy, where are you right now exactly?
I am on I-95 going past exit 366, or just about to exit 366, which takes me home to Gainesville. Yeah, you know, I always drive to Augusta because airplanes have weight restrictions. And I do a lot of shopping, right? So this may have been my most expensive trip to Augusta.
Wait, so before we get into Tiger and Scottie Scheffler and all of that, what did you get? What is in your bag?
What, you like one bag? Are you crazy? I bought, my usual purchase is, 2 dozen of the Masters Pro V1s, 5 flags from the 18th hole, 5 Masters flags.
Wait.
So because my wife was getting lit from the 13-year-old and the 15-year-old, she's getting, for the first time, I saw the Masters had a Tiffany bracelet. And a Tiffany.
Oh, wow.
She's never had anything Tiffany before.
I love two things about this, Michael. Number one, that the voice of your wife is always in your ear as you are even doing your shopping trip. The second thing is that the voice of your GPS is also in our ear right now because, again, we're talking to you as you're driving away from Augusta with a car full of... You got the gnomes.
I got two of them because you can only buy one a day. They could be my kids' college fund. Let me tell you that right now. These are the hottest things at Augusta. And it all started with the ones from when the Masters in 2020 was held late in the year. They put a Christmas gnome out. So they had these like little ones that have the Augusta caddy jumpsuit on, which one of the caddies sent me a photo and was like, hey man, if you put your jumpsuit on from America's Caddy, you've been doing this longer than the gnomes came out. So I'm thinking they owe you some money.
I'm looking at the gnome right now, and the resemblance between you and this gnome, Michael, is pretty uncanny, I got to admit.
I'm thinking that Augusta's Castle might owe me some money. Well, anyway, they came out with a full-size one year in 2020 for Christmas, and it exploded. So now every year, these gnomes come out, and when I say there's a two-block line to get in the merch tent, and as far as the hats go, so the hats and the flag thing, I'll tell you, like, I love getting, every year the Masters comes out with different hats, and I got a hat thing. Like, I might have, I'm going to say 200 Masters hats, maybe.
Oh, my God.
Probably around 200, just the Masters hats and all different styles. And I always get minimum of two so that I have one I can wear and one that I can save.
But the object that I need to discuss with you here, because I could talk about merchandise with you forever, is the most coveted object of all, right? The green jacket. And the guy who won this, Michael, Scottie Scheffler, I must confess, as a non-golf obsessive, I didn't really know who this dude was before I watched this tournament this weekend in depth. Clearly, I should have known who he was, but explain to us who Scottie Scheffler is. Yeah.
Because he's world number one, even though he looks like he could be an investment banker, right? This is the guy.
Yes.
This dude has, I love Scottie Scheffler's death. His father and mother are amazing people. Like, I love them to death. They're fantastic. The dude has about as much charisma as vanilla ice cream. Not a knock on his golf game, right? Like,
no,
the dude's world number one. But it's crazy to think last fall, people were questioning whether or not this dude should be on the Ryder Cup because he had zero wins. Zero wins. And everybody's like, you putting a dude on the Ryder Cup who got no wins? Like, this dude, he ain't even won yet. And now, it feels like he never lost, right?
No,
like, this dude's world number one in about 5 weeks, and now he's got, like, six wins in five. Something's crazy. The amount of wins he's had in the amount of time that he's had is faster than even Tiger did it. Right?
It's 4 wins in 6 starts, Michael.
6 starts.
Which is absurd.
4 wins in 6 starts. Which on the PGA Tour is unheard of. Like, it's
Correct.
It's unheard. It's a Tiger Woods type of thing. And the thing about Scottie is, Scottie's not the longest hitter on tour. And like I said, it's not like he oozes charisma. Like, he doesn't walk in a room and everyone, before they even turn around, is like, yo, who just walked in? Like, he doesn't have a presence. He doesn't do anything like, yo, this guy's short game is stupid good. Like, he can get up and down from a ball washer. Nah, like, he don't do anything that scares you. But he just does everything really good. And right now, his putting has been phenomenal. And that chipping that he had on number 3, that's when it was over. Like, that third hole.
Left is no good.
Oh, he went low as well.
Is that any good? What a 3 for Scheffler. Unbelievable.
What he did on the third hole, when it looked like he was going to make a double bogey and Cameron Smith could have made a birdie if he would have hit a good second shot, that would have changed completely the outcome of this tournament. But instead, Scottie gets a good drop. Even though he hits it short of the green, miracle chip in. And like things like that, when you're on a heater, when you're on a run for golf, that's what happens. I mean, there's two guys that what Scottie Scheffler is doing right now reminds me of what two guys have done in recent history. First is Jordan Spieth. No matter where he hit it on the golf course, Jordan Spieth was going to get up and down to save par or make a miracle birdie. And it was the same. Jason Day did the same thing in 2015 when it looked like this dude was going to be world number one forever. Like, he was never going to lose again.
Well, Michael, Scottie Scheffler, is 25 years old. He is the world number one. He is a guy who could walk into, well, now fewer rooms at this point, but used to be he could walk into any number of living rooms in America. And he feels, as you put it, like, you know, who brought this management consultant into our home? But now he is a guy who is atop the world. And the way that he won, like Sunday, it kind of felt like for most of it, he was the Terminator. And he was keeping pace and outpacing not just Cameron Smith, who fell back in the field in the end, but Rory McIlroy. Michael, like, can you explain the kind of Sunday that Rory had?
Well, see, unfortunately, I predicted Rory's Sunday last night because Rory didn't have a chance to win. And because he didn't have a chance to win, that's why he shot what he shot, right? Like, the demon.
Explain that. Explain the psychology there.
All right. So Rory McIlroy, his first major championship should have been the Masters. But he had what would be considered an epic meltdown on the back nine. And now he won the next major he played in, which was the U.S. Open, and won it in record-breaking, dominating fashion at Congressional. That being said, Rory now has demons when it comes to Augusta National and the Masters. And he's never...
From 2011. Yes, that final round
2011,
nightmare.
2011. He ain't never gotten over them demons. He's never gotten over them. And so every time that he comes to the Masters now, those demons come up and get him. Like, the best chance he had was probably 2018 when he went toe-to-toe with Patrick Reed. But Patrick Reed had already gotten him in the Ryder Cup. So Patrick Reed got to play the role of the demons that Sunday, and Rory just couldn't get him. And so this year, Rory shot 73-73, and because of where Scottie Scheffler was and Cam Smith was, you already knew Rory didn't have a chance. Now he shot 71 on Saturday and started the day, you know, at one over par. And so he was so far back, you know, when people ask, you know, who's going to shoot the lowest round on Sunday? I even sent a buddy of mine to go make a wager because the bet was 16-1 for Rory McIlroy to have the lowest round of the day on Sunday. So I made my boy a whole bunch of money because he actually went up and placed that bet. You know, not for me. He did it for himself. But I told him, here's who you bet on. Because Rory, when he doesn't think he has a chance to win, he plays free and loose without a care. But when he thinks he can...
Well, he had his best round ever. Right. I mean,
yeah.
Michael, what he did was he shoots a 64 on Sunday, the best round of his life, and he ties for the lowest final round score in Masters history with that 64, hitting a birdie on his last
hole. You know what it got him? You know what it got him? Nothing. Nothing. Extra money. Got him some... He ain't need no money. But it ain't like, hey, man, you don't get the official green jacket, but we'll give you, like, I don't know, a green belt. What's your
weight? We got some garden gnomes in the back for the second place finisher.
Here's a gnome and a pair of green socks. Ta-da! Congrats. Like, yeah. Like, Rory would rather shoot 68 4 days in a row and win than shoot 64 on a Sunday and get second again. But the problem is, like, I don't know how he gets past those demons. And the other thing, too, like, he came into this year really under the radar, especially with Tiger showing up. But for him, it's not about that. And the only thing missing for him having the career Grand Slam is the Masters. And, again, that just makes the demon in that closet even bigger.
Michael, you just mentioned the guy who I'm shocked we haven't dived into with both feet already. But after the break, we actually have to talk about, you know, Mr. Tiger Woods.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with the smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So Michael Collins, like, we could have just talked about Tiger this episode, and that would have been more than enough. But I want you to take me inside how this weekend unfolded for you in order, because I actually want to start at the start here. Like, you hear that Tiger Woods is going to be playing in the Masters. He's practicing. He's going to do it. And what is going through your brain at the outset of the weekend in Augusta?
Well, first, I was not 100% sure he was really going to try and do this, right? So we had the reports that the week before that he had flown up and was playing 18 holes with Charlie and JT and Rob, right? So they were going to go up there, just have a good time.
Charlie, his son, JT, Justin Thomas, one of his buddies, yes.
Right, and Rob McNamara, who's like his closest buddy who he does everything golf with, right? Like, that's his boy. So afterwards, we're like, huh, wonder how that recovery goes. That's when we're going to know something. And his name kept being on the participant list. And so I got to Augusta Sunday morning and he puts the tweet out, I'm on my way to go practice to see if I can do this. And when I say the vibe at that course changed, it was like someone flipped a switch of electricity. And you know how sometimes they have those commercials where it shows someone's arm and then when static electricity, you watch the hairs stand up? That's what the golf course felt like. The golf course felt like the hairs on everyone's arms stood up. And when he showed up on that driving range, it was craziness. Everybody was making a beeline over to Tiger to say, hey, what's up? You know, and the look on everybody's face was so happy and joyful. And what was great for me was the look on Tiger's face. The look on Tiger's face, seeing all of these dudes that he's been competing against, you know, before the accident, the look on his face of like just pure joy of being able to see these guys. And you know how it makes you feel really good when you look up and you see someone who's excited to see you? It just makes you feel good. You could see that on Tiger's face.
Yo, I mean, Michael, like, so just to recap for why this is all so insane, right? Tiger Woods gets in this car accident 14 months ago. There are pieces of bone from his leg on the floor of the automobile. He almost has to get his leg amputated. And here he is, not just back, but back and smiling at people. And the emotional temperature of Tiger, Michael, is what I'm actually kind of most fascinated by. Because we know he didn't win the Masters. But before we get into his actual golf game, take me into like the psychology of him. Because it seemed like he was happy, like genuinely happy in ways that I have honestly never seen before, which I didn't fully expect.
Most of the time, though, we only see Tiger when it's game time, right? When he's preparing for a golf tournament. So we don't really get to see Tiger just goofing off, having a good time, right? And we saw that a little bit when he played with Charlie at the PNC. And so just that little glimpse was like, you know what, man? If this is the only time we see Tiger and he gets to play with Charlie again, that's a win, right? Like, this dude could have been dead. I wonder if his legs are going to be strong enough to hold up. Like, huh?
Well, Michael, to clarify, We wondered if his leg was strong enough to literally walk around the course, because explain for people why it is that Augusta National is not just any old walk. It's kind of the hardest one, isn't it?
It's the second hardest walk on the PGA Tour. The first hardest walk is Kapalua in Maui, and only 30 to 35 guys get to play that. It's the first tournament of the calendar year. It's called the Tournament of Champions, and it's played at a place called Kapalua Plantation. And this place is on the side of a mountain. This place is so hilly, on a couple of holes, they give you a ride from the tee box to the fairway. And on one hole, a par three, you have to get into a van, and they drive you from the tee box to the green, because you can't walk. It's through, like, I don't know, some, if you were trying to walk it in spikes and slip, I don't know if the Coast Guard could find you if they sent in a Navy SEAL team. Like, cavernous, like, whatever. But anyway, the Masters is number two. Like, I know people say, oh, man, I hear that on TV all the time. You know, TV doesn't do it justice with the hills. Yes, it is crazy hilly, but then some of the stances and swings you got to take, there's nothing flat. The only thing flat at Augusta is man-made, and it's the tee box. That's it. Other than that, nothing at Augusta National is flat at all. So the fact that he was going to come back and try and play at the second hardest walk that golfers make was crazy to think. And then it's like, okay, let me get this straight. He's going to play 9 holes on Sunday, 9 holes on Monday, practice and not go walk on Tuesday, and then do his press conference. And then he'd play 9 holes again on Wednesday. Like, that sounds awesome. Except the golf course is 18 holes. And he's only walked 18 holes once and then took almost a week off. So, like, how's this going to work? But when he was out there practicing, this is how good Tiger was hitting it in them 9-hole practice sessions. He made us believe, because we were all like, you know, hey, I mean, you're hitting it real good. How you feel like you can win? And he just goes, I do. How many times did we show that on SportsCenter? And we was all like, oh, damn, this bro might win. I can't believe this. Like, I'm fighting back, not going crazy to believe he's going to do this again.
Right.
You know, reality sets in. And it's like, okay, mentally, because this is a dude who actually did mind over matter in 2008 when he won the U.S. Open on a broken leg. But now we're way past 2008 and 5 back surgeries later too. Now your mind...
46 years old, by the way. Yes.
Yeah, 46, 5 back surgeries, and now there was some bones from your foot on the floor of that car 14 months ago. Your mind can be like, here's what we're going to do, body. And your body's be like, you can kiss my behind. I ain't doing nothing, right? Like, your mind doesn't have that strength over the body anymore. I'm Tiger Woods. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the Lion King. I ain't doing that, right? Like, sorry.
That's correct.
What happens when you turn 46, when you get older. There's nothing you can do about it. So you could see at the end of that first round that Tiger just didn't have the strength there, and he still played phenomenally, but at the end you kind of see it, and it was like, all right, how's Friday gonna work? Because if he's tired now, what's in your future overnight? A lot of ice. The first time he said it, I thought he was talking about drinking, because I was like, the only thing to get the pain or take it easy, dude.
So we're just voracious, we're starving for Tiger to be back fully as of Saturday, right? And so Saturday happens, and he shoots a 78. And on Sunday, he shoots a 78. And they're his worst rounds ever at the Masters. And Michael, what I want you to explain to me here is how we got a shot of Tiger Woods laughing after Saturday. He was interviewed. He was talking about how he putted 1,000 times. He was laughing.
Well, I was hitting too many putts. It was like putting practice. I hit 1,000 putts out there today. I think I had 4-3 putts and a 4 putt. Honestly, I didn't really feel like I hit it all that bad. I just had absolutely zero feel for the greens, and it showed.
tell me about how the guy who is the most ferocious competitor we've ever seen can also be laughing for the first time in memory in an interview after a round like that.
Because even Tiger Woods understands now the blessing of life, right? And that even though, you know, going into Thursday with the adrenaline and how he played on Thursday and may not necessarily shoot himself out of it on Friday, I think where his body was on top of how he performed finally made the, and I'm doing the air quotes here, elder statesman Tiger allow himself to look back and go, I'm not even supposed to be here, right? Like there was a scenario, or there is, you know, there is an alternate universe where I didn't make it out of that crash, or there's another universe where I don't have that leg, you know? And so for Tiger to just be able to laugh at the fact that, you know, the other thing that no one was talking about, and he kind of touched on it, and he did again on Sunday. You know, on Saturday, it was 50 degrees, right? And everybody was thinking of the leg. Well, what about that 5 surgery back that before the crash, when it was 50 degrees, would just seize up on him, and he was like, I don't know what to do, right? And that was the Tiger that we saw before the crash with a bad back when it was cold. So now, he's out there playing the Masters in 50-degree weather, and his back is probably like, hey, man, what did I tell you about this? Stop messing up with me, man. Right? Like, what did I say last time? Right?
Of course.
About your leg. Yeah, and so that's where you put all of that stuff together, and Tiger was like, man, I couldn't get my hands didn't feel right, nothing. Well, yeah, that's your 46-year-old surgically repaired 137-time body, you know, telling you, hey, man, today not the day. And that's going to be Tiger some days. So this new Tiger, though, understands that and is wise enough to be able to laugh at stuff like that because he also understands that, man, look, life is precious, dude.
Michael, it feels like there is a self-awareness that Tiger has, a gratitude, as you just alluded to, that Tiger has now. And I just want you to sort of explain and describe what we couldn't see on TV in terms of the scene. Because even on a 2D flat surface, it was overwhelming at times. Just the sheer mass of humanity that was following him. What was it like to actually be there as he's doing all of this and feeling all of these feelings?
The one thing that Tiger never used to do, but he does a lot more now, Tiger never used to look into the crowd, right? When he was the Tiger back in the day, the intimidating Tiger, my man was locked down and so focused. And there were times, I mean, when I was caddying for Daniel Chopra and we got paired with him at Shinnecock on Saturday at the U.S. Open, I think he didn't even see me a couple of times, even though we would acknowledge each other. But he gets into that place, you know, where it's like you are so zoned in and focused only on what your task at hand is that even the conversation between him and Stevie was very light. It was just it wasn't like jovial and, you know, having a good he was only shots. It was all about hitting shots and stuff. And the mass of humanity back then, he couldn't take time to focus on that. So this week, walking around the Masters and watching him walk to a shot, or especially from a green to a tee, I can't tell you how many times he would turn and look at a kid who was screaming his name like, Tiger, Tiger. And everyone's yelling, Tiger. Everybody's clapping for him and stuff. I can't tell you, the feeling that the crowd had. And I think that Tiger had, too, when he would look over and smile at a kid. And this would be coming off making, a a bogey or a par, like nothing spectacular. But he would still look over at people, which he never did before. And just the look on his face when he connected, when his eyes connected with that kid's eyes or that patron's eyes, like that moment was exchanged again between two human beings. One on one side of the ropes that wanted to express with their eyes the reverence and thankfulness that they're getting to see this person. And then it was reciprocated from Tiger, looking at each person every time he would look over. When he would see a kid or something, that look in his eyes was, I feel exactly what you're throwing me right now. Like, I feel that. And it feels really good. And I want you to know that I know that and feel it. And that's something TV can't convey. But it's a feeling when you're out there and you're seeing him play now. When you saw him this past week at Augusta, as he was walking, you know, from greens to tees, and then especially like Thursday and Friday when he was walking off 18, because it's a long walk to get to the scoring area and stuff. And it's a long walk between number 9 and number 10 tee. And like those two long walks, seeing him looking at individuals in the crowd, you know, even though, you know, he was still focused on what he wanted to do and he still is competitive, like that, none of that has changed. But what's changed now is like that acknowledgement to the people of thank you for your thoughts, your prayers, your good vibes, your well wishes. And thank you for like keeping me here and close to you. And I think him looking back at those people and kind of acknowledging that, almost like giving them a way to say, yeah, I hear you, I feel you, I see you, and I'm giving it right back to you. And that's a new Tiger Woods.
Michael, I mean, the number of acts, I mean, there's that phrase that has been thoroughly debunked by Tiger Woods single-handedly, right? There's that phrase, there is no second act in American life. There are no second acts in American life. Tiger Woods, I mean, going from the kid on talk shows doing like tricks on the Mike Douglas show to the intimidator, like the Mike Tyson figure, to the guy who became revered and then was embroiled in scandal and then was injured and then got an accident and then survived. I mean, Michael, where does his career go from here in the near term? Because he's announced now that he isn't done, that this is the first step of several steps, literal and figurative, that he's about to take this year.
Yeah. Well, we know how much he loves St. Andrews.
But I am looking forward to St. Andrews. And so that is, you know, something that is near and dear to my heart. And I've won 2 Opens there. It's a home of golf, and it's my favorite golf course in the world. So I will be there for that one.
Now, again, I don't know about the PGA Championship. I don't know. It's at Southern Hills. He's won there before. But that was kind of, there have been some changes to that golf course. It's a little bit different than the one he won on years ago, right? And like this Masters was the 25th anniversary of Tiger's first win, so it meant that much to him. I think the 150th Open Championship, of the oldest, you know, Open golf championship in history, I think that means something to him. He's going to be there to win, except imagine the Tiger Woods we saw on Thursday with from now until July to get strength and stamina. Because that's what,
Michael, all you're doing now at the end here.
There you go.
You're doing it.
There you go.
You're a breath away from saying, "Watch out, Jack Nicklaus. 15 isn't that far behind 18 in terms of the major victory record."
No. Listen, here's the thing. As much as we talk about Tiger and him doing that too, you know the one part that people always leave out and always forget? And that is, hey, who's the guy who just won the Masters only 25 years old and looks like he's never going to lose again? And, oh, yeah, you think Brooks Koepka, You think he's going to stop working out? Like, yeah, I'm going to give Tiger a shot. You know what I mean? You think DJ's going to be like, hey, Paulina, let's go on the boat for a little bit because Tiger, so I don't have to, I ain't even got to play golf anymore. I'm just chill, right? Like, all of those dudes that are out there on the PGA Tour that are under 30, you think they don't want a shot at Tiger too? You think they don't want to be able to show their kids and their grandkids, like, hey, look at this old clipping right here. Look at this old article on the internet. Hey, where's Grandpa's name? Right there. Yeah, where's the greatest golfer of all time? Where's his name? It's under yours, Grandpa. That's right, it is. Bring me some tea. Like, these kids that are out there now, they want Tiger to come out and play because they want to be able to beat him. Like, they're not happy that he's out there thinking, man, I hope Tiger beats me today. Nah. It's the same thing. Like, you think John Rahm, when he played with Tiger on Sunday, after his press conference was talking about how Tiger didn't give him any knowledge, like, he didn't help him, he only helped JT out. You think John
Rahm
wasn't like, yeah, I don't care if you got a bum leg. Like, you don't want to be an athlete. You know, let's, like a football player. If somebody knows a football player is injured, you think I'll be like, hey, man, don't block him as hard on his right shoulder because it hurts. Nah, light that right shoulder up. Like, we taking advantage of that. And so golfers are the same way. They're going to be like, oh, man, I feel bad for you. But if you step on that tee box, I'm going to feel bad for you while I'm stepping on your neck. Like, I'm going to beat you. I'm going to whoop you. I'm going to feel bad, but I'm still going to whoop you. And now John Rahm, like, they were laughing on the golf course together, you know? And Tiger's laughing on the outside. But trust me when I tell you, if he gets another shot again paired with John Rahm, oh, it's going to be on like Donkey Kong.
Michael Collins, America's Caddy, I thank you for your insight. And also, I hope that all the people that you're giving these gifts to appreciate exactly the kind of Santa Claus you really are.
Man, I'm telling you right now, next year, I promise I will find a way to get you a gnome.
I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.